in anticipation of the Veterans Day holiday. Happy Veterans Day. And
indeed. And Michigan Theater always runs a special for Veterans
that's
Day.
That's right.
You?
We all veterans, all military veterans, are admitted free on Veterans Day.
I love
thanks
that.
Thanks to the Allen Foundation. So thanks to them for their tribute to the veterans in our community, and we'll hope to see a few of you there.
Exactly right.
Well, you heard on NPR that Brett Ratner and Eddie Murphy, who were supposed to be the producer and star of the Academy Awards, have pulled out.
How quickly things turn.
And there's lots of rumors out there about who's going to take over. Billy Crystal, you and I talked about the fact that Billy Crystal was, again, interested in being the host.
And I would love to see it, but I think that's a guy that probably takes 6 months of preparation to do it the way he wants to do it.
Yeah, well, he's got a couple, 3 months. So he's got 3 months, so he might be able to do it. Whoopi Goldberg, who's done it before, Ellen DeGeneres, Tina Fey, that could be kind of fun. Jon Stewart, Hugh Jackman, and Neil Patrick Harris are other folks that are rumored. But there's also a Facebook page and Twitter account that's been set up to encourage the Muppets to host the Academy Awards.
Hey, don't count that out. It was Facebook that got Betty White on Saturday Night Live.
That's right.
Now, this is a little grander scale, but I don't know. I just can't see Daniel Day-Lewis accepting award from Miss Piggy.
I don't know. Kermit the Frog or Fozzie Bear.
These are generally people who take their craft, I say firmly in cheek, very seriously.
It's true. Well, so now the other big Hollywood news, except it's actually London film news, is that the new James Bond film started shooting yesterday, and it's the 23rd 007 adventure. It's called Skyfall. It's been the worst kept secret in London here the last few weeks. But Daniel Craig is back as James Bond. Judy Dench.
Are you a fan of the franchise?
I'm a fan of James Bond, yeah, absolutely.
And Daniel Craig is James
Bond? I think Daniel Craig does a good job. I think each of the Bonds have an interesting take on it. So.
I haven't seen one since Live and Let Die. I think that was the first Roger Moore one, right?
1,000 years ago.
Yeah, 73 or 70, something like that. Yeah.
So anyway, Daniel Craig is back. He said Dame Judi Dench is returning as M. Javier Bardem is the new villain.
That should be good.
Yeah, there's two new Bond girls, Bernice Marlow, who's a French actress, and British actress Naomi Harris. So it's not connected to any Ian Fleming story. Ian Fleming was the original novelist.
You've got to be running out of those by now.
Oh, they ran out of them a long time ago. But ever so, they revisited in the new franchise. They revisited Casino Royale,
right.
Which was made into a spoof at the time when the broccoli.
One of my favorites were there. Woody Allen and David Niven.
Yeah, exactly. They all played James Bond.
Exactly. So.
But it was a real novel by Ian Fleming. And anyway, they went back to that original. And then Quantum of Solace, which was essentially kind of a riff off of that. But this is all new, like they've done with other ones. So anyway, James Bond's going to be back in the theaters. Not for a year or so, but should be kind of exciting. Well, there is some very exciting things going on in the film world. There's some good commercial films that are opening up. Clint Eastwood's new film, J. Edgar Hoover, and an Adam Sandler comedy. But tonight, there's a little more serious kind of film screening. It is a one-time screening of a film called Living for 32, which is actually a fairly short documentary about the shootings that occurred on the Virginia Tech campus a few years ago.
Which still gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's a terrible story. And it's about, victims of gun violence. And this screening is sponsored by Michigan Peace Works and Doctors Against Illegal Guns. It's going to be at 7:30. Again, the film Living for 32 is going to be screened. And then there's going to be a panel discussion led by Dwight Wilson from Michigan Peace Works and Derek Jackson from the Washtenaw County Sheriff's Community Engagement Program, and Jerry Walden, a doctor who founded the Packard Clinic, and Tom Holen from the Ann Arbor Center for Independent Living. So that's tonight at 7 o'clock.
This is one of those great events to rally for community engagement and involvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's definitely a point of view that's going to be promoted here.
Yes, yes. It is one side. But again, there's a panel discussion which allows for more.
Exactly. And then tomorrow we open a film that I'm very excited about, Who Killed the Electric Car? Now, this is the sequel, or actually it's a follow-up documentary on made by the same guy that did Revenge of the Electric Car, a guy by the name of Chris Payne. It opens on Friday, and then the director, Chris Payne, will be at the Saturday 7 o'clock screening. There's actually three screenings on Saturday, but he'll be at the Saturday screening to do a Q&A after the film. And then on Sunday, Bob Lutz, who is a General Motors,
is an auto industry
Ford
legend,
and Chrysler employee at one
and
point,
and somebody
too.
Who should probably stay out of personally driven aircraft.
But he was the father of the Chevy Volt, the electric car that Chevy's got out mm-hmm. right now, and he did a 180 about what it was that the electric car should be. And General Motors was the company that the Revenge of the Electric, or the Who Killed the Electric Car was about, because they had an electric car that was actively being used in the Los Angeles area as a test market, and then they crushed them all. And, you know, there was a logic to it at the time, but it was a big surprise to a lot of folks. And that's what Who Killed the Electric Car was about. And then the Revenge of the Electric Car, according to the New York Times, is a slick, enjoyable Valentine to a retooling industry. This optimistic film lacks the outrage of the earlier work, but that's okay. A movement needs triumphs, too. So, again, come see Chris Payne, the director of Who Killed the Electric Car and Revenge of the Electric Car, on Saturday. If you can't come on Saturday, there's going to be screenings on Friday, several screenings on Friday, several screenings on Saturday, several screenings on Sunday, and then all next week. But Bob Lutz is going to be at the 8 o'clock Sunday, at the 8 o'clock Sunday screening, and Chris Payne will be at the Saturday 7 o'clock screening. So anyway, check that out. We're also opening a film called Weekend, which is about these two young men who meet at a club, and it's about them falling in love and dealing with life. And this is a British film that's currently playing, and it's actually doing very well in London. Roger Ebert said, "This is a smart, sensitive, perceptive film with actors so well suited to the dialogue. It underlines the difficulty of making connections outside of our individual boxes of time and space." And again, the reviews on this film have been very strong. Weekend opens on Sunday. And then if you haven't seen Answer This, we continue to play it. And it's this love letter to Ann Arbor about this college trivia pub story and a romance.
It's at Ann Arbor and the U of M campus.
I had the great pleasure of having dinner with the director last night, Chris Farah. And anyway, go check it out if you haven't seen it. We're playing it intermittently as we can. And then Margin Call actually moves from the Michigan to the state on Thursday. Now, opening at the multiplexes is J. Edgar, which is Clint Eastwood directed film about J. Edgar Hoover.
You could have stopped right there. Directed by Clint Eastwood. I'm in.
Yeah, he does a great job. And J. Edgar Hoover was the head of the FBI from 1935, when it was founded, until 1972. A highly controversial character on many, many, many levels. And this film, if there's any criticism of it, and there actually is, it's a little too sweeping in a sense, because it covers a huge period of time, which is difficult to do in cinema. But the art direction on it is very good. Clint Eastwood, obviously, is a compelling director, and Leonardo DiCaprio, as a performance, has been extremely well reviewed.
I would be very interested to see how he engages the notion of abuse of power.
Yes.
It is something that resonates still strongly today.
Yeah, and there's a lot of issues. J. Edgar Hoover had a closeted life. He did.
Not everyone agrees with that. That's another one that's bringing up controversy.
Yeah, he did a fabulous job in establishing this, but then, you know, really had power issues. So we'll see how that gets examined. And then Immortals, which is one of these CGI, the motion capture kind of retelling of a vaguely ancient quasi-Greek myth. If you're into that kind of thing, there's no reviews on it. Go check it out. It takes place in mythological ancient times about gods and heroes and all of that fun
Mickey
stuff.
Mickey Rourke is King Hyperion.
Yep, There you go. And Stephen Dorff. I mean, it's got some, you know, good John Hurt. And then Jack and Jill, which is Adam Sandler's holiday movie set around Thanksgiving. He plays Jack, who's this family man married to Katie Holmes. And
he also plays his own sister.
And he plays the sister Jill as well,
who's
this
kind
of annoying. And so there's no reviews on this one either. So.
If the trailers are any indication, if that's the best part of the films, don't go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and then our Stanley Kubrick series continues at the Michigan Theater with A Clockwork Orange. So lots of stuff. There's some good movies still out there. So
for Russ Collins, I'm David Fair. Thank you for joining us once again for Cinema Chat. You're here at 7:40 every Thursday morning, only on 89.1 WEMU.
Ta-ta from Hollywood.